place. But I cannot shake what I feel in my heart that I need to leave for some of you. And I'll try not to be long with this, but I can't get it out of my heart. And I just want to share this with you, that you receive it and give it to someone else that you may feel like needs this as well. And I want to read out of 1 John, out of the 4th chapter. And once again, I just have to thank God for what I felt. And I just testify a little bit about what I felt in my heart as I prayed today. And when I was praying, you know, I take a little time just to worship God. I don't know if you're doing that in your life when you pray, but if you take a little time when you pray just to worship Him, it'll help build perspective for what you need to pray about. So I prayed a little while and worshiped Him, and then there was a little bit of repenting in there where I tell God the things I need help with. How many of you know you still need God to help you? We all need God to help us. And then after I humbled down and after I admitted my faults, then I stepped in to what I was asking for. And I didn't get even through the first sentence before God spoke to me and said, "Step out of the land of impossible and step in to the land of possible." We've got to change the way we're thinking about what we stand in need of. We've got to change the way that we speak and have our speech that defines what we're expecting. And we need to be living in the land that we want to live in. How many of you are living in the land of possibility? You got to claim those things that are not as though they are. You got to live there. It's got to be you. It's got to define you. It's got to be your character. So let me read this scripture. Lord, help me tonight. I don't want to try to add or take away from anything that's been said. I just want to share what's in my spirit. 1 John chapter 4, out of verse 1. And Sister Doris, I hope this is confirmation for you in some ways. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Somebody say that with me tonight. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I want to read a couple other spots too, if you'll bear with me for a minute. I want to also read out of the 2nd chapter of Proverbs. And then I'll get straightway to the point. Proverbs chapter 2, from the first verse. And it says here, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." I know some of you may not have got to be here on Friday, but some of what God was trying to speak about was us addressing our personality. trying to understand the inner demons that we still need to slay and get rid of and grow up in and be more mature about. And the reason that we spent so much time on that on Friday was that what God gave me in it was the power of decision. We want to be in the place with God where when we are presented with something to choose, that when we seek Him, we'll hear from Him and understand from Him what He wants for us. Because I've said this before, it's wonderful to hear a preacher preach to you and the answer become open to you. And it's great when we have the prophet in front of us to confirm what we've been praying about. But I want to tell you, there is a place for you as a child of God that if you will pray and seek for understanding, that you will find exactly what you're looking for. Can you say amen? Now let me read on the rest of this. Verse 6, same chapter. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, I feel the Spirit of the Lord all over me right now. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of what? Evil. From the man who speaks perverse things. From those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. I say this with the love of God in my heart, and the concern I have for us. If we are not walking uprightly and we are not fearing God, then we are going unprotected and without knowledge. And without God's knowledge and wisdom to guide us, surely we will all perish under our own decisions. Some of you tonight came this way looking for answers. And I'm here tonight to give you what little I know. It may not be a complete answer. It may not be everything that you came for. But I'm here just to start what God wants to do in your life. Is that okay? I want to tell you first of all that God is exactly mindful of what it is that you're dealing with. It is not something that just because of its category that makes it something God does not care about. Whether it's a mental frustration, financial frustration, personal frustration, a godly frustration, something that you're dealing with, I want you to know God knows about your problem. Look over and tell somebody tonight, God knows about your problem. He knows about what you're dealing with. What I tell you secondly tonight is that you'll never overcome until you understand how to. Can I get an amen? You still out there? You'll never understand how to overcome unless you learn from God. Think about this. It says in the middle of verse 6 here, from His mouth comes knowledge. That means if it comes from His mouth, then there's something on the other end of that that's got to receive that, right? To hear. Now, I'd love to say that God has spoke to me in audible voices, but I'm here to tell you most of what I hear from God is not something I hear in this fleshly ear. It's something that as I seek Him and as I look for Him, in my spirit I listen for Him. If we're not listening spiritually, first of all, if we're not spiritual at all, we're not listening. That one's tough. If we're not being spiritual, using spiritual gifts, singing in spiritual hymns, encouraging the body of Christ, we will never hear the understanding that we need to know. How many of you have ever been stuck in the mud before? I've been stuck in the mud before, tried to push the car out. There's just no way you're getting it out. And all you have at the end of it is just more mud on you than you had before. And sometimes you need something bigger than you to come pull you out of the situation. And you know what that is for us? It's the understanding and knowledge of God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That means until we are walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in our flesh, we'll never know God's will. Did you know that? If we never receive of God, believe of God, come in and serve God and obey God, we'll never understand what it is. And even though we may feel like a decision in front of us makes sense, I feel this all over me for somebody in here tonight. Even though a decision that we've got in front of us may feel like it makes sense, may feel like it's the right thing, someone may make us feel like they're the right one. Some of us may make us feel like this is the right church, the right job, the right financial decision. But I'm here to tell you, without spiritual discernment, we'll never understand what God is really trying to do for us. You see, there's a pathway that God has that He wants you to go down, but it'll only come for those that will receive of Him under the anointing of God. It's great to know the Word, it's great to read the Word, but you've got to receive it spiritually. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? It's great to be saved, it's great to know God's presence, but you got to receive it in the Spirit, or we'll never listen. I'm not saying this is something that I hear all the time, because I'm trying to get better about this, but when I was younger, I used to have people tell me, you never listen. And I know you're thinking, is he about to say that to me? That's not what I'm going to say. I could never sit here and tell you that you don't listen, because you hear me all the time. But you want me to tell you what I feel like is in my spirit right now that's coming from our Heavenly Father? We're not listening. Because if we were listening, we would spare ourselves out of so many ill-begotten choices, wouldn't have to endure things like we do, wouldn't have to apologize for things we've done, not have to go back and look at something and regret. You can find a better way. So let me give you some spiritual wisdom here. Is that all right? If you are not content in your heart like you are content with your salvation, then you need to stand still and wait on God to show you. Amen? But brother, I really need to move. I really need to make a decision. But do you feel sure about what you're saying? Do you feel God's anointing in your decision? Like you do when you're choosing something to praise Him about. Do you feel His stirring in your life choices? Let me tell you, we put God so far separated from our life choices. We just want to feel Him when we come here, but we don't want to feel Him when it comes time to choose what house we live in, what car we drive, what person we date, what person we marry. We don't want God involved in what we feel like we control, but He made you. He formed you. And He's in control of our life. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. That means if He loves us and loves everything about us, then He loves you in the middle of your decisions. Now, some of you are in the valley decision. I feel like this whole weekend has been talking about understanding our choices. So here it is. Can I give you another little nugget tonight? When you are in a spiritual place, begin to listen for understanding. That means you may have to spend a lot of time in prayer clearing out your head, because I do. Sometimes I'll spend 25 minutes, 30 minutes just clearing my head before I can even listen. Because sometimes we've just got that much going on. Anybody out there that's got a lot going on? And that's what I've had to do. Sometimes you've got to clear your mind, and that's what prayer is for. It's your direct communication to God. Understanding is something that will not be thrown upon you. It will not be given by force. It'll be something you have to receive. And we will not receive it unless we do it spiritually. Because there has never been a time when someone preached something hard to me that I ever received it in my flesh. You can sit here tonight and pretend like you are interested. You can sit here tonight and pretend like you're hearing everything I'm saying. But only you and God knows how legitimately that you're taking in what he's trying to tell you. And I've said this before, I feel like if God's people spiritually received his wisdom that he gives, we wouldn't go through half of what we go through. We wouldn't have half the enemies that we think we have, and we'd be the kind of people that know who we are. Amen, oh me, or ouch, whatever hits. We ought to know who we are by now, don't you think so? We ought to know where our help comes from. We know that, right? But guess what? That's where your wisdom comes from too. And I know what it's like. I'm standing in that place right now. I'm looking for God to supply me with understanding. But I can't get it trying to beg it out of him. Listen, I can't get it out of pity. I can't get it out of crying about it. It's great to have emotion and invest your emotion in prayer. That's wonderful. God has every tear we ever cry in a bottle. But there comes a point where you have to get past how you're feeling and start walking in faith, because your faith will be willing to receive something even though you don't have it yet. You see, I'm standing in the valley of decision from where, knowing where I need to be concerning my occupation. But I want to tell you tonight, in my spirit, I'm not receiving the place, I'm receiving the position. Because God don't want you to get caught up in who it is that you'll be with. God don't want you to get caught up in the details. He wants you to understand what his will is for your life. So I'm standing in a place. Brother, you're crazy. That's all right, I know I am. Brother, you have lost it. How can you believe for something you don't have? Because I know if I will, I'll get it. Like it's impossible. May feel like that it's never happening. But God wants you to receive his understanding. And that means for a space of time, you're going to have to let go of your flesh. Do you hear me? Let go of your flesh. That means let go of your thoughts, how you feel, how frustrated it makes you, and finally step into the place where this that you want already exists. You want to talk about spiritual realms? Do you know what exists in spiritual realms? Those things that are not as though they are. That's what's in those spiritual realms. Healing exists in that place. Prosperity exists in that place. Blessings exist in that place, but where are we walking tonight? Well, we come to 13th Street to have church. Well, we thought we were going to. You never know, right? Come on now. We never know what we're going to get because we never know what to expect, but I'm telling you, you ought to know before you ever come to church what you're looking for. Amen. I'll come back and get one for myself if I have to. And amen, that is. I'm standing in that place right now. And I've had to let go of being impatient. And I'm standing in the place where I see myself happy. I see myself in the position that God has for me. I see myself with a family. I see myself in a church. I see myself in my calling. I see myself in the place where I am blessed. And every day that I live, in spite of what I feel, I'm going to claim the place where I'm standing, because no one's going to take it from me, because God already promised it to me. He's already given you the keys to the kingdom. He's already provided the place that you can stand on, and all he requires is for you to believe it. I've seen people with cancer be healed just because they believed. I've seen people with clinical depression be delivered just because they believed. I'm standing here tonight, a former drug addict, because I believed. I'm standing here tonight as someone who's been promoted far more than he ever expected in his job because I believed. I'm standing here today with family members that have came through disease and are well and alive and well because I believed. I'm standing here tonight because I miss so many people that I've lost, but I have God's comfort because I believe. There is a place where you need to live, not just exist every now and again, but live in, that every day that you get up, you start listening for what God wants to tell you. Now I'm going to be real and get right to the point as I close. We have to stress more the importance of doing spiritual things. If we are not in a spiritual place, then we will not receive spiritually. And if we do not receive spiritually, we are not listening for God's will. And if we do not know God's will, we're lost without Him. I don't know if you want to lift up your hand to admit it or not. I don't know if you're willing to answer this openly or not, but some of us are standing in that place where we've let it just become a flesh thing. It's just a flesh thing. We want the spirit to please the flesh. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight? I can't get this out of me. We have made church to be something that just comforts our flesh. We want to live how we want to live. We want to come in and sit down. We want somebody to make us feel good in the moment. But when we go back out there, don't change the kind of person that I am, brother. Don't tell me I've got to repent and say I'm sorry. I want everything God's got for me, but I don't want to change anything. I'm here to tell you, we've become a church of flesh if we won't receive God's will. Because sometimes God's will's going to hurt. Sometimes God's will is going to make us wait a little longer. But let me tell you something tonight. If you'll wait upon the Lord, you will find yourself in a heavenly place. I can't do it to your flesh. Oh, and I'm telling you, if I didn't know that I know that I know about God's Spirit, I would have been done a long time ago. Because I've preached to flesh so many times in the past, I began to wonder, God, is this Icarus? God, is this the place where the Spirit of the Lord has done fled? And I'm ashamed to say that we're reaching a fairly dry place in the day we're living in, but you are not required to stay in a dry place. If you'll believe, you can be the only one in a house of dryness that is saturated in the anointing of God. In the midst of doubt, you can still receive what you want. Do you want to know when it's fleshly? Because we worry about opinion. Somebody nod with me tonight. You don't have to let anybody else see you nod. Just give me a little nod. It's all right. We worry about what people think. We're scared to say it. We're scared to take that step. That is fleshly behavior. It is human instinct to fear of doing something that is abnormal to our normal behavior. But what does that say about us alleged Christians? Come on now. If we were loving our God as much as we claim that we love our God, you couldn't stop the praise. I'd have to get up there and say, excuse me, everybody, I think it's time to preach, and people would still be praising Him. To be honest with you, I've reached the place and the point in my life where I can't keep living letting the Spirit just make my flesh feel better. You see, I've come to the point in my life where I am so desperate and so hungry and so driven to arrive to what I'm expecting that I'm finally willing to look inside and stop laying blame. I'm finally willing to look inside and say, God, is it me? I'm finally willing to let Him work on me a little while, that I can finally hear from Him and know what it is that He has in store. I'm tired of spinning my wheels in the mud. I'm tired of just letting the Spirit of God be a comfort in the moment. I want it to be the first thing I look for in the morning, above the sunlight, above the first breath I take. I want to hear from Him and know His will. If you only listen to you, you'll never listen to Him. Is that all right? Let me tell you something. I love preaching, but God never called us preachers to preach to the church. Did you hear me? God didn't call us preachers to preach to the church. He called us to minister to the lost. He called us to be out in the world, to know who we are, right? If we cannot be who we claim to be in these four walls, in the world, then we are not representing what we say that we are. And if we're not representing what we say that we are, how could we ever pull anybody by conviction? How can we ever have anybody appreciate our testimony? I tell you, if you're driven by your flesh is going to be the first thing that speaks. I can't let go of this. I was ready 10 minutes ago to call it. If we are speaking out of our flesh, first thing you're going to do is complain. I'll nod for myself. Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. And then after we complain, bitterness turns to anger. Anger turns to distress. Distress leads us to make unsound decisions to comfort how we feel. And you know what that means? Rather than just coming up to repent when we feel bad, we'll quit church and say it's the preacher's fault. And rather than letting a song minister to our heart when we're feeling bad about something, we'll say, oh, that's not my style. I just can't get into that. They're just going to have to sing what I like. Is this too real? Is that all right? I had somebody leave a comment on one of the videos the other day that said, I really wish that you'd start teaching it more than you preach. And you know what? I'm going to approve it. And you know what? I'm going to reply to it and say, I appreciate you listening. The devil wants to thrive in your flesh. If he keeps your flesh, he holds your spirit captive. And the only person that lets him do that is you. It's not me. I just like to preach to remind you of the fact that it ain't me. I'm going to preach a sermon one day to a church that doesn't see it coming, and the sermon's going to be titled, It Ain't Me. It ain't me that makes you feel bad about your problems. It ain't me that makes you feel like you need to pray. That's all on you, honey. You've got to know and understand who you are and what needs to be different. If you are wanting an answer, you have to pray. You have to humble your heart, and you have to listen. Now, just as God's wisdom comes from his mouth, that means there will be a time when you will know what to do. Now, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again for some of you that weren't here. The last time I was praying about whether I needed to take a different position or not, I've been in this place before. And it got all the way to the point where I had to give notice the next day. And I came to church and I'd prayed and I stood in and I was looking for an answer. I didn't have one. I didn't feel it. And I remember as I was on my way home that night, and I finally just had me one of those road trip prayers with God. You don't have to be on your knees to make a difference. You just have to be sincere. Do you hear me? And I was thinking in my mind to God, I said, God, I can't make this choice without you. And if I have to do nothing, that's what I'll do. And that's what I said. And I remember coming up the driveway as soon as I was pulling in, and it felt like a flood was just opened up upon me. It was as if I had arrived to knowledge I never knew before. Have you ever felt the rush of finding the answer? Do you remember those days when you were in school where you thought you knew the answer, but you were comforted and going to the back of the book to find what it really was? And that greatness that you felt when you knew that the answer you had was the answer that was in the back. I had one of those moments. I didn't have to turn to the back of the book. My spirit was comforted and I knew exactly what I needed to do. I didn't even get out of the car. I went ahead and sent the notice, and as I got out that night, I said, thank you, Lord, for being patient with me enough to where I could sit down and listen to what you want to tell me. So I'm going to be real plain. If you don't know and you're unsure, wait upon him. For those that will wait upon the Lord will be blessed and delivered out of their struggle. One day in his kingdom is like 1,000 years. So surely, in God's timeline, this space of time you're in is small. I've got loved ones right now that are scared to death about what tomorrow holds. Do you know anybody that's going through something? And it's so easy to see it for them. It's so easy to give advice, right? It's so easy to know how to tell someone else what to do about their problem. But the only way that you will change is to hear from God. Advice has its place, don't get me wrong. There's been some times just having a comforting pat on the back and an I love you made all the difference. But if you're looking for real answers, real actions, real change, it starts here. I preached on this all weekend, and I hope that this week becomes the first week of a new beginning for you. Because it starts in here. Don't come to church and just please your flesh with a few good songs and a nice little sermon. Change your life for the better and let God fix you. Listen, just because you're saved doesn't mean you still don't have personal problems. You've still got things you got to fight. You've still got struggles you've got to deal with. Even Paul had problems. He had things that he had to deal with. Peter had things he had to deal with. Their ends were not so glamorous in the end either. Just because we know God doesn't mean everything's going to be wonderful. And this is what I've learned. Just because I know Him and He is my answer doesn't mean I always know the way. But just because I don't know the way doesn't mean I can't go seek for it. You have a choice. Each and every one of you do. No one else can make it for you. I can't preach you to this. I can only lead you to it. Tonight I'm leading you to it. You've got to understand, if it's more important to hear from God than people, then stop listening to people and start listening for Him. How do I hear from God? Oh, this is wonderful right here. How do I hear from Him? How do I hear from Him? You listen by how you are spiritual. And the more spiritual you become, the more open your ears are. I did damage to my hearing in my younger days by the music I played. How loud I played it. So if you really want to make sure you get the point across to me, say it to this side and not this side, all right? The more spiritual we are, the more our hearing is attuned to God's voice. But here's what I found, and I preached this on Friday too. We can hear God so clearly when we fail. But when we're wanting to succeed, it feels like He's so far away. When we're wanting what's best in a decision, it's so hard to hear what He wants to do. And you know what? I will to God that we get in such a place with Him that we hear His will like we would an audible voice. But some of us aren't there tonight. And to be honest with you, I'm learning myself. There's going to come a day, and I'm going to close after this. This is important. There's going to come a day where He's coming back for His children. And those that are looking for Him will find Him. But to look for something, you've got to listen for it. Watch for it. Be looking for its coming. If you are not living your life every day in the world where the things you want exist, then you are not walking by faith. If you can't get up each day in your spirit and receive those things that are not as though they are, you squander the promise of God. God wants us to reach the place where we receive His promise so that we may, what? Hear Him. The Word said there was coming a famine. For what? For the hearing of the Word.
Oh, there's preachers out there. They're dime a dozen, buddy. You can go to any church and hear somebody preach something. But there's a famine for hearing what God has to say. That's what that means. And we can come in here and have everything look right, sound right. We can have all of the form, fashion, and traditions all in order. And we can do everything that the book tells us to do to be a denomination. But if we don't hear from God, it's meaningless. Is that grown up enough for us tonight? We've got to receive of Him to understand what's in store for tomorrow. And I know it may feel hard, and I know it's a struggle, but you know, you are not pushing out of your flesh to be spiritual just to feel good. And here's my advice to you. When you're in a service and you feel His anointing, I wouldn't let anybody stand in your way. I'd get up and praise Him. I'd get up and start feeling Him spiritually and start declaring to God the things that you want, and then just worship Him and listen for Him. If all you ever do in prayer is say, "I'm sorry," that's not listening for direction. If all you ever do in prayer is beg in pity for change, we're not listening for change. This is something I'm learning the hard way. And I'm tired of having to learn the hard way. I'm turning from my ways and I'm seeking for His. I know I'm long-winded. I know I take a while to get to the point. But I hope you remember this one. I don't know if I'll ever be back. I don't know what God has in store for tomorrow. But this I do know. He wants us in this last day to be the generation that hears. He who hears. And what did we say? To listen means to be working spiritually. If we do nothing else in this place but cultivate His presence, then chances are somebody just might get their answer. In my life, I've had four what I feel like complete revelations and understanding from God. I'm talking one of those moments where you knew it was His voice speaking to you. But let me tell you, I'm not going to settle for four anymore. I'm looking for more from Him. How many are you? Are looking for more from Him. And Doris, I love you, and I love this church, but I love you enough to tell you this. If we're not working spiritually, if we're not going to let our flesh die, then we might as well let this die. Bottom line. I don't care how Church of God we say we are, until we show it, we're none of it. Not only in demonstration, but how you live your life when you're not here. All of that defines the character of the kind of person who's listening. Let me tell you something. All those times I didn't listen as a kid, I sure paid for. How many of you's ever been switched before? How many of you's been whipped with a belt before? Sometimes you didn't have time to go gather the finest of switches. You just got the hand that was readily available at that time. And sometimes you lost your video game, or sometimes you lost the game you liked, or sometimes you just had to sit in your room and think about what you've done. But you know what you're really being punished for? It wasn't just the deed. It was the fact that you could have known better and you didn't listen. That was something that was stressed in my childhood, not just that I did something wrong, but that I didn't listen. I told you you could not do this. How many times has God told us to resist the enemy and he'll flee? But we don't turn it away, and then we're in the problem without a solution. And sometimes I feel like that if God loved us enough, He should just come down in an audible voice and say, "I told you." I don't know if I could handle that. There were people of God that saw His presence and was glowing with His glory to the point that people couldn't even behold it. I couldn't imagine hearing something like that. But let me tell you something, I don't have to. I go through enough of judgment and punishment in my life to know the moments I should have known better. Anybody out there been through that? Surely we're going to get our act together. You know why? Because I see it in my spirit. It's time to get our act together. It's time to come in and do spiritual things. It's time to get past your flesh, let it die, let it be crucified under the cross of Christ, and do something that means something. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? Can I just tell it like it is? Is that all right? We're going to have a funeral one day. And it's not going to be one person. It's not going to be one box. We're going to be in here one day, and that's going to be it. The numbers will go. The people will go. And people will look back and ever say, I wonder what happened to that church. I'll tell you what happens to people that happen like that. They stop listening. People go to other churches because they don't want to listen. You know that? I'm being serious right now because this is serious. We've got to listen. From the top to the bottom, from left to right, and all around. Regardless of your position, we've got to start listening. And just maybe, if we start listening, we'll start believing again. Because I've never seen to have a book so full of answers that it's one of the most neglected books in the world. I've never seen having a sanctuary and a God that's so abundant in His love and mercy, but we neglect His love so much. And take this from a guy that used to profess atheism. There's a whole lot of reasons and a lot of things that happen to make you want to say to yourself, there surely can't be a God in heaven, based on the way that people that say they know Him don't show that they have Him. We've got more to do before this life is over. I want to sing about the ship of Zion, but I'm not going to put it in neutral and coast my way to heaven. There's work to be done. There are things we need to do. But it all starts by how we hear Him. I love you, church. I hope this gets you thinking. That's my intent. If you want to get mad at me, at least you're thinking about it. That's fine with me. But think about it. And the next time you pray, I beg of you, the next time you pray, take time, as much as you ask for things, take that same amount of time and just listen. Just listen for Him. And I'm telling you, you'll have those moments like I did, where you'll be just driving down the road and it'll hit you all at once and you'll know exactly what you need to do. I love you. You be blessed, all right? Have a good week this week. Anybody have anything you want to share before we dismiss tonight?